Thank you, Tom. And good morning, everyone. On the chat, someone was asking what that last piece was. That what's the name of the piece? It is called Freedom Hymn by Oscar Peterson, the Oscar Peterson Trio. It's been unseasonably dry this past year. Here in Colorado, compounding the ever-present threat of drought, now quite commonplace throughout the West. A few weeks ago, on a hot Boulder afternoon, I was riding my Honda 50cc motor scooter to my favorite coffee shop downtown when I saw an ominous bank of dark clouds gathering over the mountains. Afternoon thunderstorms are part of the summer rhythm here. The sky darkens, the wind rises, and suddenly the whole atmosphere seems charged with possibility. And you never know if these storms are really going to pan out, but if this one was going to happen, I was hoping to reach the coffee shop before getting caught in it. I made it, just barely. And 5 minutes after I stepped inside, the sky opened and water came down in sheets, pounding the pavement, overflowing the gutters, and transforming the street outside the window. And then almost immediately, the lights in the coffee shop went out. For a couple of minutes, we coffee shop denizens sat together in the dimness, listening to the rain splattering on the sidewalk and street. And then the lights flickered back on. People looked up, smiled, and began talking across the room. And the shared feeling was unmistakable. This was wonderful. So cooling, so cleansing, so deeply refreshing. And as I watched the rain, a thought arose in me. Immediate and unbidden. Unbidden. What a blessing. Almost as soon as that thought appeared, it opened into two questions, an outer one and an inner one. The outer question was about the rain itself. Where did all this water come from? Not simply where had this particular storm come from or how moisture had gathered in the atmosphere above Boulder, but where had water itself come from? How had this extraordinary substance, the substance now rushing along the curbs, darkening the pavement and cooling the air, how did it come to exist in the first place? And then the inner question, quieter and more intimate. Where had the blessing come from? Just looking at a chat here. Where had the blessing come from? Was the second question in my mind. So for now, let's leave that inner question open and tackle the easier one first, the origin of water. Of course, without water, life as we know it simply could not exist. Every cell, every heartbeat, every thought passing through a brain right now depends on this one particular substance. So the question of how did water come to be isn't idle curiosity. It's closer to asking after the origin of life itself. I'd like to tell you a creation story now. It happens to be the one told by telescopes and spectrometers, but I'd ask you to listen to it the way you'd listen to any creation story, not for the mechanism, but for what it reveals. In the beginning, at least the beginning, the way cosmologists envision it, in those first few minutes after the universe came into being, there was hydrogen. Almost all of it that will ever exist in the universe was made then. Before there were stars, before there was a single planet anywhere, before there was a somewhere to speak of at all. Hydrogen, the lightest element, the simplest atom, it's the oldest thing here this morning. But hydrogen alone is not water. It took something else, something that hadn't been made yet and wouldn't be made for a very long time. As the story goes, stars gathered out of that early hydrogen, pulled together by gravity. Turns out the weakest of all the forces, and for that very reason, the most patient. And deep inside stars like this, sometime in that long stretch before our own sun was even born, under pressures we can barely describe or fathom, hydrogen began to forge itself into heavier things. Carbon, then oxygen. But a star doesn't give this up easily, these products that are made in stars. It has to die first. The star has to collapse and tear itself apart and scatter everything it spent millions of years building, flinging that oxygen outward, which then spreads slowly over hundreds of millions of years, far and wide throughout the Milky Way. Hydrogen and oxygen, two entirely different histories. One, almost as old as time itself, and the other born in the death of a star. And somewhere, eventually, they find each other and meet. Not hydrogen anymore, not oxygen anymore, but something else entirely. That meeting, however, didn't happen here, not yet, anyway. Our own young Earth was far too hot, too close to our newborn sun, for water to survive here, even if it had arrived. So it had to be carried in, locked in ice, riding inside comets and asteroids, delivered collision by collision over hundreds of millions of years. An impossibly long, unglamorous, unwitnessed bombardment. Nothing about it was gentle. And out of that violence, oceans. So a story, remember this is a story, billions of years in the making. Scientifically speaking, none of it had to happen. Each step could so easily have gone another way, and yet, standing here, looking back at it now, something in me doesn't experience it that way. It doesn't feel like it could have gone any other way. It feels like something that was always going to arrive eventually at exactly this. And of course, it's the arrival that's the point. Let's now come back down to something on the opposite end of scale. So small that even our best instruments can only catch it frozen, motionless, colder than any winter on Earth. A single molecule of water. Let's take a look at this at a graphical rendering. I'm going to share my screen here. See if I can find it. There. A good depiction of it. Two hydrogen atoms and one oxygen. But what's interesting is not joined in a straight line, but bent. A small angle, almost like a boomerang. And that bend turns out to be almost everything. Because of that shape, water molecules reach for each other. What do I mean by that? Well, if we look at the molecule here, turns out where oxygen sits, it carries, hopefully I won't geek out too much on this, this won't last very long. Where the oxygen sits, it carries a very negative charge. And then on the other side, the hydrogen side, this carries a faint positive one. And what's oppositely charged reaches for each other over and over, molecule after molecule. And strangely, what that reaching creates doesn't come from the molecule by itself. It comes from the pull. And from what all that pulling adds up to, not a substance made of separate parts, but something closer to a community acting as one. Let me stop sharing here. Someone show you one other image. And this is what that reaching actually looks like. These dotted lines are the reaching from positive excuse me, from negative to, or from positive to negative, positive to negative, just a whole network of this. Not one molecule, many, each one still itself, still complete, and still leaning toward its neighbors. The pull between them is real. Stop sharing here. But it's gentle enough that the ordinary jostling of molecules at room temperature keeps breaking these bonds apart and reforming them again and again. Apart, together, apart, together. A trillion times a second in every molecule, all at once. No single bond here is permanent. Every one of these connections is real, and everyone is provisional. So that constant letting go and reforming is exactly what lets molecules slide past one another. Nothing rigid holding any of them in place. And that sliding of water molecules, is flow. The very thing your skin knows directly when water moves across it. Molecules mobile enough to coat, to cling, to slip between your fingers rather than hold the shape of their own. And here's something worth naming without explaining it. When one molecule bonds well with its neighbor, it doesn't just add one connection to a tally, it actually strengthens the bonds around it. One good bond helps the next one hold. And here's something else. A single molecule of water entirely alone is not wet. Wetness is not, it isn't hiding inside one molecule waiting to be noticed. It only comes into being once many molecules are free to slide against one another. But that lone molecule was never empty, even by itself. It was already carrying everything we just walked through. Hydrogen from the universe's first minutes, oxygen from a star that had to die, already whole, already carrying its own whole story, and yet still unfinished. Not because anything is missing from it, but because of what it can become. Liquid water, flow, fluidity, wetness, only happens when there is a community of water molecules. And without that reaching, without a wetness, life as we know it could not exist at all. So recapping here, hydrogen from the universe's first minutes, oxygen from a star that had to die, a shape bent at just the right angle, a charge strong enough to reach and gentle enough to keep letting go, billions of years and an uncountable number of ordinary, unglamorous collisions, all of it apparently necessary for that rain to fall against a coffee shop window in a drought. Is this a miracle? I used to think the answer was obviously yes. Now, though, I'm not so sure, because I think the two questions I opened with, the outer one about the rain and the inner one about the blessing turn out to be the same question. There are two ways to tell the story of that moment in the coffee shop. In the first telling, the rain was simply rain. Following the physics, it always follows. And the blessing was something my mind manufactured, my own history, my own biases projected onto neutral weather. In the second telling, the blessing was already there. The way the rain itself was already there, gathering over the mountains, before I ever looked up. I didn't make the blessing. I simply caught up to it. Here's the way I've come to think about it. In the first telling, form and meaning are two separate things. The rain was simply form, and meaning was something added afterward, in this case by me. In the second telling, they were never apart to begin with. They were, in fact, one. Think of light and a rainbow. We're tempted to treat them as two things. Light first, causing color second. But it isn't really sequential like that. Pass light through a prism, and the color isn't added to it. It's what light looks like once it bends. You don't get light and then separately get color. The color was always the light, just not visible in that shape. And from my perspective, form and meaning are like that. They are not two things in sequence. Meaning does not come first and hunt for a form to wear. Nor does form come first and have meaning tacked onto it afterward. Meaning and form arise together. What showed up in that coffee shop wasn't neutral rain plus a personal reaction to it. It was meaning becoming visible in exactly that form. So, a miracle? Not in the sense of an exception to how the universe works. Miracles are simply how the universe actually works in every moment. I guess you could say the miracle part is the experience of awakening to this. Increasingly, there are those certainly gathered here this morning, and of course, so many more across the globe who know this and are living it, expressing it moment to moment. Many of us, I suspect, have already tasted this for ourselves. Meaning and form felt as one thing, not two. In our own individual experience, at least. Now consider back to that single water molecule. Complete, whole, carrying its own entire history, needing nothing added to it. And yet, something entirely new opens up once molecules stop being solitary and start acting together as water, wetness, flow. Everything a lone molecule cannot be, no matter how complete it already is. And I think something similar is already true of us. We're not just separate individuals who happen to convene a couple of times a month when we come together, there's real intention behind it to allow something more transcendent to happen. And over time, we've generated rich substance together, a way of relating, a shared register, something more than any of us carries alone. That's not nothing. We're not simply individual molecules standing apart. We're already in some measure in relationship, already in some measure water. And just as one good bond strengthens the bonds around it, the extent to which we're personally aligned with meaning doesn't stay ours alone. It shapes the whole. But here's what that molecule can't do. From inside it, wetness doesn't register as a possibility, half glimpsed and waiting. It's not that the molecule is holding back or missing something obvious. It's that wetness emerges at an entirely different level altogether. And I suspect that's closer to our situation too. Out of habit, we at times lean on the forms of relating we already know, understandably, since there's real truth in what we know. But our collective meaning may already be reaching for a form we haven't yet caught up to. Not because newness is the point, but because that's simply what meaning and creativity do. They reach for a fuller form, the way water molecules themselves keep reaching toward one another, again and again, until something new emerges, something no molecule could become alone. And one more quality of water may matter here. In liquid water, the bonds are real, but they keep forming and releasing, something very dynamic and spontaneous. In ice, the same exact bonds become fixed. I have nothing against ice. Love my iced lattes. Ice has structure, but it cannot flow. Perhaps the question for us is not whether our connections are real, but whether they remain fluid enough for something new to emerge. Everything we've known together is real, but early. Early not just in time, but in how much of it remains unmapped. In my mind, we're somewhere near the beginning of a continuum whose far reaches nobody has yet seen. Something totally unprecedented is on the horizon. And the blank part of the map calls for a different attitude altogether. A willingness to stay open to what's still unmapped, rather than assume we already know the terrain. From there, the quality of our relating can keep deepening past anything yet touched, and every deepening is a new form, expressing what couldn't be expressed before. The universe didn't finish expressing itself when it got water, and it certainly hasn't finished when it got us. So, real appreciation for everything that has brought us to this point. Every gathering, every silence, every arrival, all of it real, all of it necessary, all of it how we got here. But I think of here, in this very moment, as in the beginning. Certainly not the final destination. In the beginning, everything we think we know can wait here at the trailhead. Somewhere up ahead, there's water no one has tasted. Let's begin. And that's what I have this morning, and there might be others who have thoughts. The lines are open.
Thank you, Sanford.
Okay.
Oh, I've been thinking about where thoughts come from. And very much in line with your exploration of the story of creation. And I've been thinking about my dream state thoughts and where they emerge from. Is this all just stuff coming up out of the subconscious, being drawn by some other force and appearing in my mind, these electronic impulses through the water of my mind? Or is this a direct connection with Source, with a pure essence of being before form in human being that I'm privileged to visit every night? I know at the physical level, it's a wonderful, relaxing, and rejuvenating experience, sleep. And there are things happening at the emotional and spiritual level, too, to look at and observe from this I consciousness that is the witness of my own experience. And these are some of the thoughts that I've been having lately about thinking. And I wanted to share them with you. Thank you.
Sanford, this is so exciting this morning, sharing this with you. We're on the brink of something new, the beginning. And I have a silly little example during this thing today. Actually, Tom Starrs is on my, when I click on speaker, I'm looking at Tom. So hello, Tom. But I went to dual speakers and finally I got you, Sanford, up there on the screen partially as well. And so isn't this interesting? Something new, new way of relating with we molecules here this morning. But I love your reference to, I don't want to be a block of ice. It reminds me of a pillar of, whoops, now you disappeared, Sanford, but that's okay. I'm still speaking. I'll find you. Anyhow, I don't want to be, it reminds me of a pillar of salt, to be honest with you. Whoops.
Yeah, no? I'm messing with it. Here we go.
You're messing with it. Okay.
There we go. Sorry.
Okay, that's okay. They're terrific. Bye, Tom. Let's talk about in and out, flowing in and out. But this has been so wonderful because our connections need to remain fluid for the new, whatever that may be, the new water to appear. And I love what you brought forward. It is in my understanding, I feel like there's a new light in my mind of an understanding between the hydrogen and the oxygen and how water flows and how it's made and how this relates to our momentary living. So thank you so much for what you brought this morning. Very exciting. Thank you.
Sanford, I love the way your mind works. What a great presentation. I think we all know we're on the verge of something new. It becomes more and more obvious. And I want to thank you for the way you emphasized that this morning. Great, great job. Thank you, Sanford.
Sanford, I too really appreciate the imaginative way that you brought this in. I found myself thinking, was he thinking about the main point he wanted to make and then just opening to what kind of metaphor would bring that? And could there be anything more essential to life than water? So what you did with that was both artistic and titillating. But the main thing that is sticking with me is your question, are our connections fluid enough for something new to emerge? And then what you spoke about of, do we see this as the final destination where we are? Or in fact, is this the beginning of a new path? I think if we have the view that this is the final destination, we might as well just go back to heaven. Because it means that we don't think there's much more to do. And I also particularly picked up on what you said about the quality of our relating to one another can deepen. This is what I'm finding, with these fluid molecules, people that I may not have talked to for years, and then suddenly something very deep and actually profound emerges. And yet also not like glomming onto that. So I do feel that you've really captured something that has, it's a wonderful metaphor for what is emerging, and I do truly appreciate it. Thank you.
Indeed, Sanford. I thought about how I was 30 years old when I discovered and came into this ministry. I was a very unfinished product. And yet, because of what people had done before I came into this ministry, the finished product for that time was already there. And it was already there, and it was changing, changing, changing. There was enough fluidity in the program, and certainly in the leaders, to make sure that it changed. And so I could change a completely different person sitting here now. And I think we can all relate to that. If you are fluid, you will change. If you are stuck in a 30-year-old consciousness or what your parents did to you at two or whatever you want to be stuck in, then you won't change. Human intelligence and reality is only one part of the situation. The larger part is what can open, what can be, how much can I be, how big a circle can I draw, how much can I unfold, and that is what brings the new earth, the new consciousness, whatever we want to call it. This is so exciting, and I'm so thankful for your brilliance and what it stimulated in my thinking. Thank you, Sanford.
Sanford, I'm thankful too for this opening. I think of a door opened in heaven, and it has been opened in heaven. And because of that, this new flow of substance is coming in the thought forms, the heart forms. And I was thinking of my own part of the whole. And everyone else's part in the whole. I love the diagrams because I can envision a whole of them. And as my my form, it is my form is a good form that holds. It strengthens other forms and brings that in. And so we only have to look at ourselves for our place in the whole, and letting that place be good and whole, and offering that to others, letting that strength be a part of this whole picture. And so looking at the whole, we see one another and we see the connectedness. And what a glorious sight it is to just live in this realm of openness, to allow the newness in thought forms to appear. So thank you again.
Thank you, Pamela. I want to echo what you just said too, in terms of articulating what you said, Sanford. A good bond strengthens those around, and to have that clearly in our consciousness. And a good bond relates to what we do individually and recognition of the whole of what we're with all together. So, I want to just emphasize that as being so clear in my consciousness.
What a blessing your words are and have been. In that, you mentioned that the falling of the rain in your experience in the restaurant and the cleansing, I think you felt that was going on. You acknowledge the blessing. And I love the way you articulated the fact that you were blessing what had already been present or what had already had happened. And there's something very wonderful in this that I've been working with, and I think there's more to come, but I think I understand that really it's from the heart that as we truly acknowledge the blessing of everything, including each one of us and so on, then we begin to see the design emerging. Or maybe not just emerging, that is present. It's present. Heaven is present. I love the wonderful way you've brought this, and I love the opportunity to work with what you've brought. This is great.
Manfred, I too love to hear what's moving in your mind and heart. I love your spirit. Your brilliance isn't just your mental acumen, it's your entire spirit that comes through your words. And I also, as you were closing, loved your comment about here we are standing at the trailhead with the trail not mapped. I think that's just a great analogy because we are ready to move collectively into something brand new for all of us. And that, for me, that's the essence of what you've brought forth here, that it's all new, it's unmapped, it's fluid, and our times together are so precious and so uplifting and rich in substance to let the path become clear for us. So let the rain come, let the sun shine, whatever is needed, we're here to walk that path together and find the oasis because actually we are the oasis. So thank you so much. It's always fun to share what's happening in your life, your thoughts, and your world.
Sanford, thank you, and everyone else, thank you so much. I want to go into the reaching. There's something about that that's very exciting. Okay, so we've talked about our different meetings with different ones and how we are radiant, you know, in the grocery line. What am I reaching for? What is lonely? What wants to reach to me? There's plants, there's animals, there's insects, there's all forms. And in those forms, as I'm understanding you, is the meaning. What meaning wants to be released? What substance wants to be released so that the map shows itself in beauty, in the beauty of the new world that's already here, but it hasn't shown, been able to show itself in wetness, in beautiful love. And so everything that I reach for, that reaches for me, is a way of the coming together. And I love that. Thank you.
On a previous Zoom call just last hour, we talked about leadership and we talked about interconnectedness. And when you put up those molecules, I just went, oh, that's what I was thinking about. That's what I was meaning, that connection that we have between each other and with each other, and how exciting that is to see that and to understand that it's probably already there. Do I just need to step into that relationship or step into that situation in a really open way? And we've been doing some work with rain. Rain, you know, is in our country. We have many wildfires, so we've been consciously doing stuff with rain and seeing it come in some areas. Or seeing it come in some areas, it's already there. Anyway, this is, like as everybody said, it's pretty exciting to be inside your creative process with you. Thank you.
Thank you, Christine. And thank you, everyone. Such a delight to be together. The potential creativity is just unbounded when we come together. I sure appreciate it. This notion of, obviously something is present right now. I mean, right now, it has meaning. Every moment has meaning. Some of the crisis I think you see today is kind of a loss. People have a loss of meaning. There's no real connection to the human facility and what it is that we're connected to. So wonderful to be aware of just the potential, because the meaning is there. It always will be there. And the possibility of allowing it to flow, to come forth, is just so exciting to me. And, but as I was emphasizing, not just an individual thing, really, I think we're kind of at a threshold point where we can discover what happens when it's just more than me and, you know, my interactions at the grocery stores, when conscious angels come together. I think the possibilities are just totally unlimited. It's just the nature of creation. I apologize for the kind of video mishap. Tom, thank you for standing in for me today. On the website, I think I'll just post the audio and not the video. No offense, Tom. I know that could have been kind of confusing. I do have some closing music, and there's this one song I really love by this singer-songwriter. His name is Vance Gilbert, and I've been looking for an opportunity to play it, and I think this is the opportunity to play it. It's something I think is very fun. So the name of the song, keep seeing, and your volume seems too low. Though it seems, okay, well, whatever. Sorry, and I apologize for some of the technical things today. The name of the song is called Another Great Day Above Ground. So let me play that.
Okay, here we go.
It's another good day above ground, Lord. Another good day above ground. Another good day above ground, Lord. It's another good day above ground. When I wake up in the morning, if I don't feel so good, I put my elbows out the east side. If I don't feel no wood, then it's another good day. Another good day above ground. Treat others like I treat myself, Lord. I treat others like I treat myself. Treat others like I treat myself, Lord. Treat others like I treat myself. Some say he come from heaven, showed up as a man. I show up to work each morning and do the best I can and treat others like I need to treat myself. Play on now. A great day to be upright, Lord. It's a great day to be upright. A great day to be upright, Lord. It's a great day to be upright. When my friends all come to visit, the way I know I ain't dead, ain't a single guy in shirt and tie, they dress casual instead. And it's a great day to be upright. Oh yes, Lord, it's a great day to be upright.